Session. Today we're going to talk about Service Manager and how you can customize Service Manager with C# and Visual Studio. So by a show of hands, who is using Service Manager? I'm expecting about 100% in here. That's good. Thank you. So have you been using the authoring tool to customize Service Manager? Okay, most of you. And who has played around with Visual Studio so far? All right. So I have a couple of people to ask when something breaks. That's good. So let me start with the agenda for today. First of all, I just want to quickly give an overview on Service Manager and the configuration management system in Service Manager, to talk a little bit about the importance of having a centralized IT service management solution in place, and also about the importance of having a self-service catalog and a self-service portal. And then we're going to dive right into the scenario that I have prepared for today's session. And at the end, after the demo, I will talk a little bit about best practices and lessons from the field that I have discovered by doing service manager customizations. My name is Dieter. I'm the head of software solutions with IT NetX. We're actually doing quite a lot of service manager engagements here in Switzerland, and we also do a lot of customizations for service manager customers around the globe. So what is Service Manager all about? Mainly, Service Manager allows you to drive IT service management. We all know the processes that we have available in Service Manager. And I think the good part about Service Manager is that you can actually do IT as a service. What I mean by that is the service catalog, all your request offerings that you can publish to the portal, give them role-based access to the end users, and also drive automation with the system center integration by having runbooks from Orchestrator or from SMA being triggered by service requests. I think this is the true power of Service Manager. Now, I talked about SMA, Orchestrator. Of course, there is other system center components that we integrate with, like SCCM, SCOM, VMM, Active Directory. Now, what this all does is basically it gives us all the configuration items that we need to drive our IT services. And I'm going to cover the CMDB in the next slide. Last but not least, we also have business intelligence. So reporting is always a requirement to improve the visibility of what IT is doing in service management. And I also have a small use case in reporting during the demo today. Now, what's this all about, the CMDB? I have just a small example here of how configuration service manager can be set up in a system where it talks to AD to import all your users, computers, printers, etc. We get all the information about our client computers from a config_man, and we can get alerts as incidents or also other config items from operations manager. Now, what's the point of having all these configuration items in the CMDB? The point is mainly an enabler for doing self-service processes. And when we want to have a self-service request, for instance, to install a new computer, you want the user to be able to pick the computer, so you need it in the CMDB. If you want to do chargeback, if you want your users to order a service and you want to charge the service to the users, you will need this information in the CMDB. Now, the example I just gave you is an example which we do not have out of box in Service Manager. There is a business service clause, but there is no pricing information there. So that's when customization starts, when we start to build clauses, forms, user controls, workflows, etc. So to sum it all up, a CMS, a configuration management systems, makes it efficient to drive your IT service management. It enables you to have a real integrated management, and it's also clear what is the single source of truth. Whatever is in the CMDB, you should be able to rely on the data in your CMDB. But with the concept of the linking framework, with the connectors, you can still ensure that the expert teams own the source. So you wouldn't want the config guys to fiddle around with the data in your CMDB, so you rather just import the data from Config Manager, where there is the single source of truth. But you just replicate the data because you need it to drive your IT services. And with this concept, we can also ensure compliance and consistency in our service management infrastructure. Now, once we have all these data in the CMDB, like computers, users, etc., we can create our service catalog. The service catalog basically is nothing else but a list of services that we offer to our end users. And through the use of a self-service portal, you can make them accessible by the end users. So what I'm talking here is the request offering and the service offerings that we have in Service Manager, where I can create forms for the portal, which can be filled by the end user to order stuff or to report an issue or to search the knowledge base. And we can also drive business processes for approvals. And then the real power of the service catalog is when you integrate it with automation, which from my point of view is really an amazing story about Service Manager. Now, of course, this all sounds very shiny on the slides, but we all know Service Manager has its limitations. It is a framework in the end, like ITIL is a framework. ITIL is not meant to be a book that you just read and then you can do IT service management. You have to adjust the best practices of ITIL to your organization-specific processes. The same applies to Service Manager. So you have a certain set of data connectors and all the lot, but you need to customize this, to parameterize it in order to fulfill your needs. So when we talk about customizing Service Manager, I think this is one of the important sentences here. You can do a lot. You can literally do anything with Service Manager, but this doesn't necessarily mean that you should do it. Like you see on this screenshot here, some of you might already know it because I just love it. Just because it says you can free hugs here, if you take a look at it again, and if you analyze the situation more closely, you might not want to do it. So always take a second look at what you intend to do. Plan your customizations wisely, because there is customizations that can only hardly be undone. So if you build a class, you start using the class, you have config items in your CMDB, then you figure out, actually, I don't need this attribute on the class. You will not be able to get rid of the attribute because it's not upgrade compatible. Otherwise, you remove the management pack and you lose all your data. So always plan your customizations wisely and also be aware what skills and knowledge you need to do the customizations in Service Manager. I also like this statement here, the difference between knowing something but being wiseful with your knowledge. So just knowing that a tomato is a fruit is good, but the wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad, right? So always be cautious with applying your knowledge in Service Manager. What do we have to deal with? So talking about the skills and knowledge. Basically, when we author for Service Manager, we will mainly use some sort of XML editing tool. You can use Notepad++, Visual Studio, you can use Visual Studio Code, whatever you like. So just some good XML editor with some syntax highlighting is recommended. There is the authoring tool. I mean, we all know about its limitations, but it's still good to use it for doing the basics for your classes and maybe also some very simple forms. But after using the authoring tool, I always recommend go through the XML code manually and clean it up a little bit and remove all these internal names and replace them by some more meaningful names. And then after all, we have Visual Studio. That's what we will use today. So we're not going to use XML and authoring tool very, very much. We will be really working in Visual Studio today. And common to all is an understanding of XML, SQL queries, PowerShell, and C#. If you master all these technologies, I think you can do very, very nice things with Service Manager. So let's move on to the demo then. In today's demonstration, I would like to show an example which allows an organization to do charging of delivered services. So basically, the end goal that we were tasked with is we need to enable self-service for applications and equipments for our end users so that they can order a desktop workplace or a mobile workplace or a Microsoft Office software suite. Then we want to link those services to the users, so it's a little bit like a mini asset management. But then the important part is we want to enable billing. So we want to have prices in Service Manager, and we want to have a report that shows us who was using which service, from when until what time, what was the cost associated with that. And we're going to do all this together now using more advanced customization techniques in Visual Studio. So let's get started. Are you ready? All right. So, let me. All right. Now, I know I said that there is not much that we will do in the authoring tool, but we're still going to start with the authoring tool. Before we do that, let's establish some common grounds. So, in Service Manager, in the configuration items, we have business services. What I have done here, I have created some sample business services. I've created a business service called Desktop Workplace, another one for a mobile workplace, and a third one for a Microsoft Office suite. So, of course, you can extend the list with all your services that you have. I decided that we're going to use this business service class to have all the services in place. And we're going to extend this class with a separate class to hold pricing information and then to relate it to the user. Now, if we go to the authoring tool, I will show you that I have prepared a class library. So in this management pack, which we call the Billable Service Library, I have created two classes. I have created a price sheet class. The price sheet class has a price, the current price. You can enable or disable a price sheet. And we have a periodicity, which is it monthly billing, quarterly billing, or yearly billing? That's an enumeration in our database. We also have an ID, of course, and a relationship between the business service and this price sheet class. So that means the cardinality is actually set one-to-one, so each business service can have one price sheet. I decided to still use a separate class. I could have extended the business service class. But by using a separate class for pricing, this gives us some flexibility because later on you might want to extend this class and have multiple price sheets per business service depending on, I don't know, on what country the user is from or what department they work for. The second class that I built is the billable service mapping. This is, think of this like a container class to hold an information which user has which service. So this class has a relationship to the user and another relationship to the service. And we hold the start date of the service and the end date. So if I order Microsoft Office today, I will get an instance of the billable service mapping with today as the date from. I also have a quantity here, so for instance, if I order monitors, I could order two monitors, so quantity would be two. And the adjustment factor allows me to do some discounts if needed. So maybe there is a user who gets 20% discount, so the adjustment factor would be 0.8, or we go 20% beyond, so I can have an adjustment factor of 1.2 to increase the price. Now that's all that is in this management pack. We have these two clauses. So what I'm going to do is I will seal this management pack. Going to put this on my desktop. You're all familiar with the concept of sealing management packs, are you? Okay. Type here SCU. And let's just import this management pack into Service Manager. Good. Not much happened. Service Manager is now seeing the classes, creating the tables in SQL. But that's about it. So we don't see anything in the console, obviously. So what we're going to do a little quick is create some views. So I will import this management pack here. This is literally an empty management pack. So it's really just an empty management pack, which I will use to hold the configuration for this demo. It's an unsealed management pack. Now, once this is done, let us just quickly create some views that we will need at the later stage. So under configuration items, let's just create a folder, which we call SCU. I'm using the advanced view editor here from Anton Gritsenko, which you can download for free, which just gives us much more options to configure views than with the out-of-box editor. So we save this in our, just import the management pack, and under here, we create a view for the price sheets. I have already created in this library management pack, I have a type projection for my price sheet, which includes the business service that is the price sheet is tied to. So here is my price sheet type projection. And then on the display, we will add the business service. This is the display name of the business service. So this is our service. Then we will add the actual price, which is here. We will also add the privacy, which is here, and whether it is enabled or not. Okay, this just gave us a view for our price sheets, which of course is empty right now. There is no data, and we create another one for the service mapping. So the service mappings again is which user has which service. I have also created the type projection here for my service mappings. Here it is. So I want to see the business service that the user has. I want to see the user, of course. So it's getting a little confusing here. So this is the service. This is the user. I want to see the date the service was consumed. So from and to. I also want to see the quantity and the adjustment factor, if any. All right. So now we're ready to get started. Now, technically, we could start using these classes already because Service Manager has what we call the generic forms. So if I go to the price sheet view, Service Manager knows this view is targeted to the price sheet class. And it gives me this create price sheet task over here. So if I click here, I will get a form. And I could start saying, OK, $120. But hey, where do I pick the business service? So the generic form does not support instance pickers. And also, it just looks ugly because it literally just lists all the properties that it finds in the class. So we would want to have a more fancy form here. For this, I'm going back to my authoring tool. And I have a second management pack here for a form. Now, you might, from the title of this session, you might expect, hey, why isn't he doing this in Visual Studio? We'll do a user control in Visual Studio later on. But just creating a full form is taking too much time, considering that we only have 1 hour, one hour here. So I have prepared this in the authoring tool. It's now asking me for the class library, which is referenced by the form. And here is my price sheet form. So it's really just very simple. We have a picker for the service, a text box where I can type the price, and a list item to pick the periodicity, like yearly, monthly, etc. And we can check whether it's enabled or not. So let's also seal this guy here. And import it to Service Manager. All right. Now we have a form that also allows us to actually enter the data that we need. So if we now go back to our price sheet view, and if we click create price sheet, you now see the form that we have authored in the authoring tool. So I can pick the service. Let's say we want to have a price on the desktop workplace, which is $100 per month, and it is enabled. And I want, I want another price for a mobile workplace, which costs $120 per month. And let's stop here. Now, technically, we can now work with this, but it might be a little bit complicated because it could be much more handy if I was on the business service. For instance, I create a new business service for Adobe Photoshop, and then once this is created, I have to save it, I have to change the view to the price sheet, I have to create a price sheet and references to the existing business service. So from my point of view, it would be much more handy to do this right from the business service form. So what I'm talking about is when we go to this Office suite, which we have not created a price yet, there is no way to add the price sheet information on this form right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a console task over here, which allows us to edit the price sheet right from this form. Now, console tasks can be created here in the library under tasks. But basically, all these tasks do is call some sort of program that you have on your laptop. So you cannot really interact with the Service Manager console by using these type of tasks. So that's our first example of using Visual Studio. So let's, we don't need this guy anymore. The authoring tool we can close as well. So in here, I have a solution in Visual Studio, which hosts three projects that we're going to take a look at today. So the first one is the console task. Now, if you create a console task, basically, whatever project you create for Service Manager, when you program against the Service Manager SDK, you always have to pick .NET Framework 3.5 as the target framework, otherwise it will not work. So just be aware that when you create new solutions, it might default to 4.5 or 4.51. Always change it to 3.5. And the project type is just a class library. It's a regular class library to do a console task. So once this is done, you have created your empty project. What we need, of course, is a couple of references. We have to reference the SDK from Service Manager. Now you see here some exclamation marks. This is, most of you have probably run across this issue as well. When you copy projects around, you always need your DLLs. So just to give you a small tip, the way we do it, we're working with source control, with TFS. So in my TFS folder structure, which is on my C drive here, we always have one team project which we call resources. And in here we build, we put all the libraries and tools that we need for our projects. For instance, under tools I have the FastSeal utility and the MPB maker. This is all checked into TFS. We have our SNK files. And here I have all the DLLs that I might need in my project. So with that, I can always, whenever I work, I just download this team project from TFS. And when this is done, all I have to do is on the project, I go to the properties, and on the reference paths, I just add my local copy of the team project. And all my exclamation marks are gone. Good. So once the references are set, we can start doing our work. A console task in Service Manager, you just create a regular C# class, which basically inherits console command from the Service Manager SDK. That's all you need to do. By inheriting console command, you actually have to have an execute command method. And inside this execute command method, you see the parameters, and the most important one is nodes. So nodes gives you the context of the task execution. Now think of a console task in Service Manager. A console task can appear on a form. Yep. Of course. Better? Okay. So a console task can appear on a form. So when I click a console task on the form, my notes element will host the current item that is open in this form. When I open the console task from the view, I have the currently selected item from the view in my notes collection. And there is a third option that a console task can be called from, which is also from a view, but with multiple items selected. So I can, in an incident view, for instance, I can hold down control and click three incidents and then resolve them all at once. So that means in this console task, my notes, which is actually a list, will have three members in the array. So when developing console tasks, you always have to make sure that you program it in a way that it supports all these three methods if you want them to be supported. In the management pack that you have to create a console task, you can define where the task is shown, whether it is shown if multiple items are selected, whether it is shown on a form, whether it is shown on a view. But for each element that you want it to be shown, you also have to make sure in your code that it is being treated correctly. In this example, we are only using a task on the form. We are not using it from the view, and we are not using it from a multi-selection. So the first that we want to do is we want to have a connection to Service Manager, to the management group. Now, the console task runs under the context of the user. So the user runs the console, he clicks the task, and then the task is executed in the context of the user, and the user already has a connection to the management group. So never do something like new enterprise management group here, and then connect to a localhost or something like this, because it's running on the user side, so Service Manager is not localhost. And you also don't need to create your own connection to the management group, because you can just get it from the console connection, which is already open by the end user. So this code snippet, by the way, whatever I show you here at the end of the slides, I have a link, you can download it and you can play around with it. Everything is shared from today's session. Now, once I have a connection to the management group, I also want to get access to the currently opened item. In our case, this is the business service. The console task is on the business service. So by using get forum data context, I can get a copy of the currently opened item. And I'm just using nodes 0 here. So I'm accessing the first element in my array, because I know when the task is called from a forum, there is only going to be one. However, if I want to have a task which works with multi-selection, you would have to do something like for each iData item in nodes. And then you have to loop through all the elements that have been selected. Now, what I'm asking here is whether the parameter contains edit price sheet. The parameter is being handed over from the management pack. So maybe we should take a quick look to the management pack, which is here. In our management pack, we have the console task. And this console task is targeting business service. We see this here. And this console task is calling the assembly demo.billableService.consoleTask.assembly, which is the name of our class library that we built. Inside this assembly, we have a task handler, which we call the generic task handler, which is this class here. So you just reference the class name that you have chosen for your class. And then you can have as many arguments as you want. This allows you to have generic task handlers and have different routines inside your code depending on where the task was called from. So for instance, if you have a task which is updating the title of a work item, you can have one task handler for incident, for service request, for change request, because it's always doing the same. But you might want to have a different argument being submitted to the task to retrieve the correct class in the back end. So basically, we have here the task edit price sheet. And if this argument is present, what I do here is I get the relationship class. Service has price sheet. So I am retrieving from the CMDB the price sheet of the currently open business service. If I retrieve more than 0 price sheets, that means there is already a price sheet for this business service, then all I do is I'm opening the already existing price sheet. So that's no big magic, because there is already a price sheet. All I have to do is create a proxy instance for this price sheet, and then I can just call the popout form method on the form utilities class, which will pop out the form of this price sheet. However, if there is no price sheet present, I have to create a new one. So I have to create a new instance. And now the problem, it's a little complicated code here. The problem with Service Manager is that it is running multi-threaded. So this new form that we're popping up can be in another thread. And if you remember the form, the first element in the form is the selection of the business service. Now, if I'm on a business service and I click edit price sheet, I do not want to pick the business service again. I want the business service to be pre-populated. Now, when this form's open in a different thread, I have to synchronize my threads to be sure that once this is loaded, I can put in the business service in the loaded form. That's why we actually have to do an asynchronous call here. And in my execute completed callback, so once the code tells me, the other thread tells me I have opened the form. What I do is this line here. The projection instance is my business service. And the component alias is the component of the type projection in my price sheet, in my price sheet form. So if you take a quick look at the price sheet form management pack here, the price sheet form management pack is targeting a type projection. And in this type projection, we have the business service. And the business service is referenced by an internal alias. So this alias I have to use in order to pre-populate the business service in the price sheet form. And here I'm just doing 100 milliseconds sleep until the form is loaded, because we know service manager can take a while for the form to load. So that's all the magic that we have to do here. Once this is done, we can just build our assembly. We see build is succeeded. We now go to the output. And here we see the DLL, and we also see the XML, which we created. This is the management rack, this is our DLL. Now, I was saying the console task is run on the user side. So whenever the service manager console is started, all the management packs are downloaded to my local computer. This means that this DLL also needs to be downloaded to my computer, otherwise it's not there and it will error out. So what I have to do is I have to bundle this DLL into the management pack to make sure that it is transferred to each workstation that is using the service manager console. So I'm copying these two items here. I have prepared a build folder over here. And basically what we have to do is, let's delete this just to be sure that it's no fake. So we go to a command prompt. Change into this directory, and I'm using FastSeal to seal the management pack first. If you don't seal a custom console task, and the custom console task is calling an assembly which is untrusted, then an error a warning will pop up in the console saying, "Do you trust this source?" Blah blah blah. If you seal the management pack, this this will not happen. That's why we seal the management pack. So we are sealing this console task XML file here. Our key file is demo.snk, and the company is SU. Then we create a bundle from our management pack. And you see that it found the DLL file and created a bundle. And here it is, this MPB file. That's all we have to import into Service Manager now. So we go to demo MPB. It's not here. Maybe I'm in the wrong folder. Let me check again. Oh, here we are. Here it is. All right, management pack has been imported. Now let's go back to our business services. Let's open desktop workplace. Now you see the edit price sheet task here. Desktop workplace already has a price sheet, so if I click this guy here, it will just open the already existing price. I can change it to 105. However, if I go to Microsoft Office, which currently does not have a price sheet. And if I click this task, the form will be loaded. Microsoft Office is pre-populated. And I just add the price of 30 francs per month. OK. And now we have all the prices available here. Good. Now, just a little tip here. Sometimes, I mean, this is a demo. Of course, it works at the first run. Visual Studio, you sometimes have to play around. It runs in an error. And it's a little bit complicated. You build your solution. You have to seal it. You have to bundle it. You import it. And then you find out, ooh, there is an error. And then you have to do it all over again, over again. You lose a lot of time. So the question is, how can we debug it a little bit more nicely? That's actually pretty well possible. So let's go back to our source code here. And let's say, OK, here I want to check if the management group, I'm having issues here. I don't know if the management group is being returned correctly. So we will add a breakpoint here. And also, let's just make an exception in the code by changing this GUID here, which he will not find. So there will be an exception raised. Now we build this again. And now, instead of sealing the management pack, bundling it, and importing it again, what you can do while developing is just go to just pick the DLL that you have just built, this one here, and just put it in the Service Manager program directory. Service Manager will always pick up the DLL from here if he finds it. Only if there is no DLL, it will look in the management pack repository. So what we do now is we restart the console because it still has the old DLL in the repository. Once the console is started, you go to debug, attach to process, and you attach the debugger to the running instance of service of the console, which is here. You attach it, and now Visual Studio will go into debug mode. And now we just switch to the console. We go to our to our business service here. And we click our task, edit price sheet. And now you see it just jumped into Visual Studio. So the breakpoint is now being captured, and I have the full context here, and I see okay, management group is still null. Let's have another breakpoint here. Let's continue. And now we see, oh, OK, management group has been populated. We have now a connection to the management group, to this server here. Now let's continue. And now you see the exception which was raised. So you actually see, instead of just getting the nasty pop-up in the console, you see which line of code caused the exception. And of course, you will still have, once we stop the debugger here, you will still have the error in the console here. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to find it, but here it is. But instead of just getting this pop-up here, you actually know where is my problem in the code, and that's how you can debug. Just make sure that whenever you do this, delete the DLL again. Otherwise, you forget to do this. You import a new management pack, and then you're like, why are my changes not working? That's because you have forgotten to delete the old DLL here. Now it's locked because the console is still running, so we close it. Now it's gone. All right. Now let's move a little quicker here. This was the first example of a console task. The next one is working with data. So let me quickly switch to, this was not my intention. Let me switch to Service Manager here. Okay. And I have prepared a PowerShell script here. This PowerShell script just populates some service mappings. So of course, we would use the the request offering and the self-service portal to create new instances for our users. I have just created a PowerShell script to create a few sample records in my CMDB. So I'm going to execute this on the management server. That's all. That's done. So let's move back to Service Manager here. And if we go to the service mappings, you now see that we have some users. So we see that I have a desktop workplace, Anton has a mobile workplace, and I also have a mobile workplace. So I have two computers, Anton has one. And we have some dates here from today. The service was started. Good. Now, the next example is a little bit about visibility. So wouldn't it be good if I have an incident open from myself and I open my user? Let me find my user here. Configuration items. Wouldn't it be nice to see the services here? What services does the user have? So we all know we can customize the form with the authoring tool. We can add new text boxes, list items, etc. But what we cannot do in the authoring tool is create lists like this here. Because the relationship between user and service is one by many. I have a mobile workplace and a desktop workplace, so I need a list view, and this cannot be done in the authoring tool, but it can well be done in Visual Studio. So let's switch to the next project that I have here, which is the user control assembly. The user control assembly is a WPF user control library. So you will create a WPF user control library and then add user controls to it. Also here, I need to add the reference paths because they got lost by copying it over. All right. Excuse me. Oh, add. Thank you. And this is my user control here. So this user control is pretty simple, actually. It's just some grids to have a proper layout of the button versus the list view. And then I have the label here, the services label up here, and I have a list view. The important thing when working with user controls is you have to do binding. So the list view is bound to the item source service mapping. Service mapping is the alias of the component in my type projection of the user form. So this sounded a little bit complicated. So let's switch to the management pack. This is the management pack which extends my user form. You see this here. This is a form. And the base form is the user form. And this form is targeting this type projection here. And in this type projection, I have the service mappings, which are referenced by this relationship here that we have created in our library management pack. So the service mapping alias is what we have to use in the binding here, so that service manager knows what data to display in the list view. And then we can have custom columns. I have one column for the service, for the date, for the quantity, and the adjustment factor with the appropriate bindings of the corresponding attribute names. In the management pack, you see all these GUIDs, etc. This gives you a sign that I actually did that in the authoring tool, so I didn't type this all manually. So that's what I say, the authoring tool can be useful. So I just opened the authoring tool, customized the user form. In the user form, I added a new tab item called services. And then what I just normally do on this tab item, I just add any text box, and I format the text box the way I want it. And then I save it, and I open the management pack, and all you have to do is this add control will be there, and it will say something like text box. And you have to change this to the name of your custom user control. So this is the name of my class library, and this is the name of the type of the of the user control, which is user services here. Once this is done, we do the same. We just build this, this project. This will give us a DLL. And we have our class extension here. Then we have to seal it. We have to bundle it again because the form is loaded on the user side. So the user needs to have the DLL. So we bundle the DLL with the management pack. And then we're ready to import it into Service Manager. MPB user form extension. Here it is. Now my console still has, I already opened the user form, so it has the old form in the cache. We have to restart the console. And if I now go to my user CI again, you will see that we have here this new services tab. And here are my services that I have in a list view. I can just double click them and they will open. Or I can just click open and the same will happen. Now, how does this work? Is this list view is just a view? How does it know by double clicking it's supposed to be doing something? Well, obviously this is all in code behind. So if I go to my user service element here, and hit F7, you see the code behind. And I have created a mouse double-click event on the list view control. And I have created a method open item from list view. And all it does, it for each selected item in the list view, it calls popout form with this instance. That's all you have to do to just open a form of a CI or of any element in the CMDB. Good. Now, last but not least, now that we have all our data in here, you might want to see the data in a report. Now, the ultimate way that Microsoft tells us to do is to create a separate management pack for the data warehouse and to create the ETL processes that pull over the data to the data warehouse. And then if you're lucky, the data warehouse doesn't break and we can use the data in the data warehouse. Or we're just a little bit more lazy and we create a SQL script that accesses the Service Manager database instead, which, disclaimer here, is not a supported way, but at least it is a more stable way. So this is a sample SQL statement, which, if we're lucky, should actually work right now. So if we go to our Service Manager database and we execute this query, we will see the result here. We see for each user, the service, the start date, the end date. So I have, let's say we want a report from October the 10th till December the 31st. So we see this is three periods. This is the price per period, and this is the total price that this user has to pay for the service. This could now be used for any reports that you do. Good, so we're running a little short on time. The last example that I have, which I'm just opening a little quick but not showing, is a workflow. A workflow is a class library in .NET that obviously is being executed when certain conditions happen, like when you create a notification in Service Manager, when incidents are resolved, send an email to someone. You can also call a .NET SDK library. And in this SDK library, you have a workflow class, an activity class. And workflows are actually pretty simple. All you have to do is implement this execute method, retrieve the instance. The instance is the triggering object. So in this example is actually I want to set the expiration date on all service mappings when a business service changes the status from in service to retired. So all you have to do is to create a subscription in Service Manager, then modify the XML and point it to our custom class library. In here, you retrieve the instance ID, which is the business service. The business service has relationships to the mappings. I'm getting all the related mappings. I loop through the mappings, and for all the mappings that I found, I set the date to the current date time. I commit the changes, done. And from my experience, this SDK workflows run very, very quickly. So once the trigger is through, it's like half a second and the workflow ran. Whereas if you use Orchestrator, it can be minutes. If you use PowerShell, it can be half a minute or something like this. But this is very instantly. So that's why we use SDK workflows a lot if we have workflows that are triggered often. For instance, a workflow that runs for each work item being created to do some business logic checkings, it's a wise move to use SDK workflows. Good. Let's move back to my slides. Okay, this was not meant to happen. Not liking me anymore. There we go. All right. Now a couple of statements on how to be successful with Service Manager. That's what I want to round it off with. So from my experience when working with customers on Service Manager, ITL knowledge is it's good if it is present. If you have to start with explaining what's the difference between an incident and a problem, then it's pretty tough to implement Service Manager. If ITSM processes are already defined, good enough. If they're not, it's not a must from my point of view. So we have a lot of customers that just are aware that they need a proper help desk tool with some service requests and self-service capabilities. If they don't have their fancy Visio diagrams, sometimes it makes it even easier to implement Service Manager rather than having to implement a process which some business consultant created who has no clue about the tool that is supposed to be implementing this process. Application ownership for me is critical. Service Manager is called System Center Service Manager. A lot of customers tend to put Service Manager in the responsibility of the infrastructure team. And that's, from my point of view, is not a perfect fit. For Service Manager, you should have more of an understanding of business processes. And from my point of view, I prefer if the application ownership with Service Manager is in a different team from the infrastructure team. Solution integrator, if you have the skills to do it yourself, okay. But I think it's important to consider using a solution integrator because they have already gone through a lot of the stumbling blocks that you might face when implementing Service Manager. You can benefit from asking, well, how do others do it? I mean, most solution integrators don't like the question, but I think it's a feasible question as a customer to ask, how do others do it? And they can reply to this. State-of-the-art infrastructure, well, we all know Service Manager can be a beast that has to be attacked with a lot of hardware and resources. So bear this in mind. Choose a feasible project plan and feasible milestones. Take small steps. Don't try to introduce incident management, problem change, service request, and release management in one step in a customer that has no service management tool at all at the moment. They will just be, ooh, what is this? And they will be likely to say, well, it's so much work to work with it. So take small steps, start with incident management, add problem management to it. Start with simple service requests. Do your automation, and so on. From an engineer perspective, it's a little bit tough because, as you have seen today, there is many aspects to customizing Service Manager. Being a geek is not the best because you have to have a process-oriented mindset to understand the business processes that you support with your customizations. You should have some development skills, but also understand relational data models and enterprise architectures. Then you need to understand the database, write SQL queries. So I know it's a little bit of a tough profile. But last but not least, don't do over-engineering. So always, as I said in the beginning, plan your customizations. Don't reinvent the wheel. Don't do something just because you like it, because it can break your system maybe later on. When you upgrade it, it can cause issues. And don't do what is not really necessary. Yeah, don't reinvent the wheel. Here it is again. Service Manager has a big community. Maybe someone already solved your problem. So take a look in the community in TechNet forum. There is tons of blogs available. TechNet Gallery has a lot of free add-ons to Service Manager that you might like. There is books available to buy. And of course, there is commercial third-party add-ons for Service Manager. So here is the last slide with the resources. The first one is the official SDK documentation from Microsoft. Second one is a good example of how to create a console task from Stefan Jono. Then we have another example of how to create a custom user control from Anton Gritsenko. And the last one is how to create a custom workflow for Service Manager. This is from the MSTN library from Microsoft. And the source code that I have shown you today can be downloaded from my OneDrive. I have shared the whole solution, including the SQL scripts and the PowerShell that I ran, that allows you to at least get started a little quicker. With that being said, we're all done. It's your turn. Try to cook with your Service Manager, and thank you for being here.